We do bless you, our great God, O sovereign one, majestic one, powerful one, King of all, Creator. You so loved the world that you gave your one and only Son, Jesus, that we who believe in him would never perish but have eternal life. And we just bless you. Thank you for loving us. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless his holy name. Amen. Watch this.
Order now. You get the camera, you get the printer. 4X optical zoom. Schneider lens. Photo printer. SD card.
Good afternoon. My name is Russell, and I am a wilderness explorer in Tribe 54, Sweat Lodge 12. Are you in need of any assistance today, sir?
No.
I could help you cross the street.
No.
I could help you cross your yard.
No.
I could help you cross your porch.
No.
Well, I gotta help you cross something.
No, I'm doing fine.
Good afternoon. My name is Russell, and I am a wilderness explorer in Tribe 54.
Slow down.
Sweat Lodge 12.
Kid!
Are you in need of
any
assistance?
Thank you, but I don't need any help.
Ow.
Okay, it's time to confess. How many of you have seen that movie? It's a great movie. It comes out on DVD this fall. And if you're a grandparent and you're looking for a gift for your grandchildren, I'm not a grandpa yet, but I would highly recommend it. The movie touched me profoundly. I found myself weeping. Was I the only one? On a number of levels. But if you've seen the movie, and if you haven't, Carl Fredrickson's the old guy. Wearing the glasses, the voice of Ed Asner. And Carl Fredrickson dreamed always throughout his life of traveling to South America to visit a place called Paradise Falls. And Carl grew up, however, to become a balloon salesman, selling balloons like this. And he married his childhood sweetheart. Her name was Ellie. And life, as it does, got in the way of their plans to visit Paradise Falls. And now, Ellie's gone, and their house is the last one that's left standing in their former neighborhood, which is now turned into a massive construction zone. And so this 78-year-old widower, he decides to take off with a massive array of helium balloons attached to his house and fulfill a lifelong dream of flying to South America. So his house was just full of balloons like this. Tim, would you mind if I leave these with you? I promise you won't fly away. And if you get tired, just tie it to the chair. But Carl just filled his house with balloons, helium balloons, and he flew away to fulfill his lifelong dream. But Carl was unaware that Russell, the 8-year-old, the wilderness explorer, has become an unintentional stowaway on his front porch. But Carl doesn't know it until he's up in the sky and he hears a knock at the door, and he goes to the door, and guess who's at the door? And after a rough thunderstorm encounter, they find themselves floating together to South America. With Carl's only desire being to put his house down in Paradise Falls, he and Russell become unlikely traveling companions in life. And so I want you to know just very plainly that this worship service, this worship gathering, this corporate worship gathering this morning, and this short sermon are about old and young flying together on the great adventure of living as those who treasure and follow Jesus as aliens on this earth. I invite you to turn in your Bibles with me, please, to Philippians chapter 3. If you didn't bring a copy of the Scriptures, in most of the pew racks in front of you, there's a copy of the Scriptures. In most of those Bibles, it's page 1163. It's in the New Testament. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Then we come to Colossians. Philippians chapter 3, page 1163 of most of our pew Bibles. Philippians chapter 3. Old and young, flying together on the great adventure of living as those who treasure and follow Jesus. If you read this short letter from the Apostle Paul, in fact, I read it again yesterday afternoon. He wrote this letter to the church in Philippi. He planted the church, started the church there. If you read through these four short chapters, which won't take very long, you would find that there are probably several purposes to him writing this letter. Much like when you write an email, there are several purposes you might have in sending a particular email. And I'd like to give you a few of these purposes. First purpose in writing this letter known as Philippians is to give an update on how things are going for Paul, because Paul happens to be in jail as he writes this letter. He's in jail, in fact, on bogus charges, and so he writes to let them know how he's doing while he's in jail and what his plans are once he's released, if he is released. A second purpose in writing this letter to the Christians in ancient Philippi is that Paul's writing this letter to thank them for their concern for him while he's in jail, and to thank them for the gifts that they have given to him as he sits there in a prison. His third purpose in writing is to address some apparent discord and disagreement and division in the church. And so he writes to encourage the Christians who are part of this church family in Philippi to be humble as they relate to one another with the ultimate goal of unity in the church. And then he has at least one other purpose. There are probably others, but a fourth purpose I offer you. Paul is writing this letter to head off the negative teaching and influence of certain false teachers who are now present in the church. My sermon text today is written to address by Paul some of the negative teaching and some of the bad influence in the church. So I invite you to follow as I read Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 17. Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 17. And this is the word of the Lord. Join with others in following my example, Paul writes, brothers and sisters. Take note of those who live according to the pattern that we gave you. Verse 18. For as I have often told you before and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. Therefore, my brothers and my sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. My focus this morning is on verse 20. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. The word but opens verse 20 and sets a contrast in verse 20 between two very different patterns of behavior. Over here, we have Paul's behavior. And over there, we have the behavior of the enemies of the cross of Christ. And so Paul, as he's writing, has been contrasting two different ways of living. And so verse 19 presents a very earthly-minded way of living. He says in verse 19, you can see it in your Bibles, their mind is on earthly things. And then in the very next words, which compose verse 20, Paul presents a heavenly way of living, but our citizenship is in heaven. Now, what does Paul mean by the term citizenship? The term citizenship connotes images of a mass of people all living under one rule and is thus an image for the kingdom of God in its present manifestation. Therefore, the kingdom is present now, but it will be consummated in the future. And so as followers of Jesus, as believers in Jesus Christ, as Christians, our country is the commonwealth of heaven. We are citizens of God's kingdom. Now, for my entire life, I have been a citizen of one country on this earth. It is the United States of America. In fact, I have my passport here. United States of America. This is a very, very precious document to me. Every time I leave this country and re-enter it, it is with great pleasure and great joy that I stand and I look at an immigration officer and I hand him or her my passport and I declare my citizenship is United States. And there are times when my wife and I have left this country and we've come back and we want to just get down on the ground and kiss it at the airport because we were so happy to be home. The land of the brave and the home of the free. Now, within my citizenship in the United States, I've been a citizen of four different states during my tenure here on earth. And I brought stones of remembrance to remind me of the places I've been. Can you come help me here? And this one. And come on, Carrie. Okay, and then that one. That's the proper word. Now, hold them up high. Okay. It's high enough. I've been a resident, a citizen of the state of Missouri, which is where I was born and raised. Spent my first 18 years there. My wife was a citizen and a resident of Kansas and spent her first 18 years there. Then the two became one. The Kansas girl married the Missouri boy, and we lived in Texas. Spent the next 17 years of our lives in Texas as citizens of the great nation of Texas. Any other Texans here? Amen. Hallelujah. I have three native Texans in my family. I'd like you Texans to know. And then after spending 17 years there, we spent the next 13 plus years as citizens, as residents of the state of Ohio. Are there any Ohioans here? We have two. Did you bring your snow shovel? So these are the four states, you guys can be seated, thank you, that I have been a resident, a citizen of, and now, of course, I'm a citizen of the great state of California. It was with great joy when that late January day came in 2007 when I knew I was an official resident. There are great benefits, as well as liabilities. But there are great benefits with being a citizen of California, especially if your kid goes to a state university. As those of us who believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, our first and primary citizenship is in heaven. It's not in the United States. Our first and primary constitution is the Bible, not the U.S. Constitution. Our first and primary king and commander-in-chief is Jesus Christ and not President Obama. And the dominant cravings of our heart are not for the treasures and the tributes of this world, but for the kingdom of God. And so today, we live as aliens, as tourists, as foreigners, as travelers, as sightseers, as expats during this time on earth, because our citizenship is in the kingdom of God. And so, just look around this room. I invite you to just look around. Go ahead, Turner, look around. Somebody sleeping, nudge him. But look around. We are old and young, flying together in the great adventure of living as those who treasure and who follow Jesus Christ as expats here on this earth. And so just as my U.S. American citizenship affects the way I live, even more so should my heavenly citizenship affect the way I live. And so if the Apostle Paul were here, he would say to us, he would say, live as citizens of heaven, not as citizens of the earth. Now, why is that? Why would he tell us to do that? Because something really radical has happened to us. Well, you're asking, what has happened? I'm glad you asked. Notice the end of verse 20. We met a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I met a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of you have met a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And meeting that Savior changes everything about us. The citizenship of which the Christian is a part of has a ruler, a governor, if you will, and he is Jesus. And Paul refers to Jesus as a Savior and the Lord. And so our Savior and our Lord, Jesus is his name, he calls us to live as aliens, to fix our minds on him, to turn our eyes to Jesus, to fix our minds on radically different priorities than those who do not have citizenship in heaven. Well, this begs a question in my mind as I think about what Paul writes here. How can we live as citizens of heaven? I'm going to offer you one suggestion as I close, and it's from this context, Philippians chapter 3, verse 17, how we can live as citizens of heaven. There are many answers, many biblical answers to this question, but I want to offer you one from this context immediately. Philippians 3, verse 17, you can see it in your Bibles. Join with others in following my example, brothers and sisters, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. In other words, imitate people who imitate Christ. Follow the pattern of people who copy and mimic the pattern of Christ. And what is that pattern? Among other things, let's just flip back one page in our Bibles. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Imitate the pattern of Christ. Mimic people, follow people who follow Christ. And what did Christ do? Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Notice verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. How can we live as citizens of heaven? Follow the example of Christ here in Philippians 2 and follow the examples of others who follow the example of Christ presented here in Philippians 2. Find and follow someone on your journey on this earth, someone who is older or someone who is younger, who is serious about following Christ, and be an example for someone else who's serious about following Christ. Remember, Carl's only desire was to put his house down in Paradise Falls. And so he and Russell become unlikely traveling companions, older and younger, traveling together. My only desire in my life is to glorify God on earth as a citizen of the kingdom of God. As I sail through this earth toward the new heavens and the new earth, my Paradise Falls. And so I want to invite you, as you continue living your life following Jesus, to journey with other people who are not just like you. Some who may be older than you are, some who may be younger than you are, some who may look differently than you look, some who may have different tastes, different likes than what you like by nature. But because of the power of the gospel of Christ and the fact that following the example of Christ, we want to put the interests of others ahead of our own and consider others as better than ourselves, may I invite you to find some traveling companions who are different than you are, and in so doing, demonstrate the power of the gospel to change people's lives. I'd like to invite you now to bow with me in prayer. Jesus, you are our King, our Governor, our President, our Lord and Savior. And so we pray that we would live as people who have a heavenly citizenship, not an earthly citizenship. We pray that we would find traveling companions on this journey, some who are older, some who are younger, to journey with as we sail for the new heavens and the new earth, our Paradise Falls. May we journey together on the great adventure of living as those who treasure and follow Jesus as citizens of heaven. And as I close, I offer you these words from Psalm 71. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, O sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. Since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. Amen.